expert in communications, and I'm not an expert in television ministries. We've got lots of them around. And Dr. David Abernathy is the expert on our jurisdictional staff who does this kind of thing. When he arrives, you will learn that that is the case. I was, however, the chairperson of the Legislative Committee on the Council on Ministries at the General Conference in Portland. It was to this Legislative Committee that the whole mass communications package was referred by the Calendaring Committee, and they sent it in without much hope that we were going to do anything about it. As a matter of fact, the General Council on Finance and Administration had already turned the proposal down. They said there's no way for the United Methodist Church to have a mass communications apportionment. There's no way for us to get any money to do anything about a comprehensive plan of communications. But they didn't understand the tenacity of the committee members that we assigned to look at that proposal and to bring in recommendation. When that small task force of the Legislative Committee completed its work, they brought a recommendation back to our Legislative Committee that we carry an approval recommendation to the floor of the General Conference. We carried that recommendation, and the General Conference didn't know how to deal with it. It had been turned down by GCFA and turned down by the Finance and Administrative Legislative Committee of the General Conference. But our group felt that something needed to be done about it, and we had a layman from Arkansas who was in broadcasting, and he simply took the floor and almost single-handedly persuaded the General Conference that they ought to override the recommendation of the General Council on Finance and Administration and the Legislative Committee on Finance and Administration. This was done, and the General Conference approved the MassCom Fund and said, we want to get some things going. Now, what they actually were saying is, we want to have a radio and a television presence for the United Methodist Church in this country. That's what the General Conference was saying. They approved the money, they approved the idea, and so we wound up, much to the surprise of everybody at the General Conference and at the General Board level of the church, with a MassCom fund and some directions for us. Well, I'm interested in establishing a Methodist presence on television. I think that we've turned this over to other groups, marginal groups, too long. And I don't think we need to abdicate that arena if there's anything we can do about it. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm a little sick of the PTLs and the 700 clubs and a lot of other people becoming the high priests of America with the particular brand which they keep sending out over the television. And yet, you can't fault them too much because we're doing nothing. And if we are not going to move into that vacuum, you can hardly expect others not to move into it. And I just believe that we need to establish a television presence for the United Methodist Church. I'm interested, in the second place, in encouraging those who are presently using television to extend their ministries. We made a little survey in the southeastern jurisdiction and discovered that we have something like 100 pastors and churches who are doing this. Well, they need as much encouragement as possible. They need to know that what their efforts are being appreciated, and they need to feel that this is a valid expenditure of funds and a valid way of getting the message out, and this is something that we can support. So I'm interested in encouraging those people. I'm also interested in providing help to those who are presently using television for imaginative and creative improvement of their techniques and skills. I don't want us to do sloppy work. I'd like for us to be as professional as possible. And I know that the budgets of our churches do not allow for professional expertise behind the camera or in the control rooms or even in the acting arena. But I do feel that the people who are venturing in this arena need as much help as possible in order to do professional work, as near professional work as they possibly can. And so this is something that I'm interested in seeing us start. In the fourth place, I'm interested in exploring the possibilities of a television network for the southeastern jurisdiction. I'm not limiting it to this, but this is the extent of any responsibility which I have. In the Southeastern Jurisdictional Council on Ministries, we have a Commission on Communications and Public Relations. This is the arm of our jurisdictional council work, which produces the Methodist series of the Protestant Hour, and that is quite a presence on radio. We have something like a 10 million audience every Sunday morning, and this is something of great significance. We've got, as I indicated earlier, a 34-year history in this arena. That commission is also now publishing a jurisdictional newsletter in which we try to tie together some of the activities that are being carried on across the jurisdictional lines, and so that we can share information across annual conference lines about what is taking place within the jurisdiction. It becomes a vehicle for the general agencies of the church. It becomes a vehicle for annual conference groups and for the fellowships of designated conference leaders in this jurisdiction, so that we have now this moving along. And so we were eager to call together a consultation of people who are involved in a television ministry to see if there's any way in which we can share the experience, the equipment, the talent, the abilities which we've accumulated now in devising some kind of network. And that's what we're going to be exploring a little bit later. I'm interested in discovering what the immediate future has for cable and for satellite communications. We've brought together here some experts in these fields so that they're going to be able to help us devise ways of understanding what is going to take place. As you very well know, we are on the threshold of phenomenal developments in this field. We need, as a church, to understand what these are and how we can go about using them. I'm interested in finding and exploring the various possibilities of the non-broadcast use of video for teaching, for home programming, and for training. The number of Betamax and Selectromatic machines that are being sold in this country now are just absolutely staggering, which means that every home is going to become a market for videotapes in the same way that they are now markets for records and audio tapes. And the people who are moving to supply that market are not church people. There's a company out in Texas that has already turned its total facility toward the production of entertainment videotapes, which they hope to sell to the homes. The pornographic world has moved in with a vengeance, and we're still kind of playing around. I believe that somebody needs to give attention to the development of the software, which could be made available to our homes. And we need to explore what this means and need to see what the market potential really is. Well, I happen to feel that we can use this kind of a facility for training at the local church level, at a sub-district level or at a district level, and bring resource persons in a way that we'll never be able to do otherwise to help develop the leaders of our local churches. This past summer, we had a workshop on Christian education for the ethnic minority local churches over at Lake Junaluska. As a part of that, we suddenly stumbled upon the realization that it might be possible to provide some videotape training cassettes which could be made available to annual conferences and districts to use in the ethnic minority local churches. Fletcher Bryant said, "Our people have learned the authority of the television set." And if somebody speaks from the television screen, they're going to pay more attention than if they're there in person. But he said what the ethnic minority church needs is to see some of its own people doing the teaching, developing the procedures, presenting the material. I'm interested in seeing what we can do as a denomination to provide training experiences for our people in this fashion. I'm interested in finding out what it will cost the denomination, of what it would cost local churches, what it would cost larger groups, annual conference groups. And I'm interested in seeing some of the possibilities for funding in this arena. I believe that we dare not ignore the potential that is available to us now. But I see a responsibility for some people who care, who are concerned about it, moving into this arena and giving some direction to it. Now, those are the things, Eleanor, that I would like to see happen, okay?
Oh, that's exciting. I don't know about you, but I sort of get goosebumps when I think about the possibilities, and I'm sure that I was feeling that from what you were saying, the excitement and this kind of thing. I wonder if any of you felt this kind of excitement also, and if you see, if you also have had this kind of vision for you and have felt a frustration or something about where you would like to go and what sort of systems you might plug into, and you feel sort of like all alone out there doing your thing. John?
Well, let me raise a question with Ross. Other than the fact that the PTO Club and the 100 Club and all the other people are on, we're not. What is your rationale, especially theologically, for having the Methodist, as you said, the Methodist presence on national television?
I just feel that we need a more balanced presentation of the Christian faith than I see coming across the screen now.
Yeah, I guess my follow-up to that is, what is that presence? You know, we know what CBN is putting out and have our own opinions of that. Mm-hmm. You said over and over, we need a United Methodist television presence. We need a United Methodist presence on television. What, following up what John said, what would that presence be that's going to make it any different than a religious Johnny Carson show? Or Rex Humbard from Akron showing us worship in his temple with the phallic symbol. Do you have any ideas, or is that still in the planning stage?
Well, that's in the planning stage.
Okay.
We've got, as Bill says, the circuit rider, which has a pretty good network. We've got Randy Pollard, who is developing a statewide network on broadcast television. I'm not ashamed of the name.
I'm not ashamed either. I'm interested that you would say that as a response to the question. Mm-hmm. If that begins to tell me a little bit about what you may be thinking. What really concerns me is that there is implied in every conversation I've heard about this that we are somehow missing the boat because we're not marketing Methodism to a clientele that seems to want to have something marketed to them. And the assumption is that if they're clamoring to send in their money, in my case it's to Lester Summerall, but in somebody else's case it's somebody else. Why not let's get some of that enthusiasm and interest and money sent to the Methodists as well as Lester and Rex and all these other people? And to me, that's not a valid justification. That simply says there's a market out there to be exploited. We're going to sink to the level of whatever it takes to exploit the market. I'm not interested in that.
I'd like to speak to that. I think that's the first question is a theological question. And I think the theological question and the ecclesiological question are inseparable. In other words, that a television network system and that dissemination of information, theological, pedagogical, what have you, has not only been characteristic of Protestantism since the printing press and the Reformation, the Renaissance, but has been extremely characteristic of Methodism with the publishing house, the book concern, 1789, the same year George Washington was inaugurated. In other words, we have historically used these media to disseminate varying ideas, pluralistic ideas, to even a pluralistic frontier culture. Now, the real question is, in your mind, as I gather, what is the specific theological rationale for this? And I think it's proclamation of the gospel, which I find to be, in terms of systematic theology, quite valid, as well as biblical theology, quite valid.
But that could be a different subject from the proclamation of Methodism.
Well, you see, we are talking about a particular interpretation. We can't undo or throw away the 39 articles, particularly, or put them in the wastebasket or anything. We can't, in other words, undo the heritage. Now, out of this marketplace, which I think you're caricaturing and unfairly characterizing, is an incredibly diverse and pluralistic national audience, many of which are already United Methodists, some of which are highly and strongly committed and go to church every Sunday, and down to varying levels to people who have maybe heard United Methodists and don't know much about it. And I think in that broad spectrum of psychographic and demographic audience profiles, there is room for what is now the matching technological capability of the multi-channel capacity to reach out in narrowcasting and let a person be even as free, he's just as free to turn off Methodism as he is to turn off any of the other superstars. Any of the people of the electronic church, ecclesiologically, what I see here as being the one key difference is that this is a part of the organic church as it manifests itself through institutions, however laborious they may be. We certainly keep ourselves, at least we think we do, historically rooted, where you can't necessarily say that about the electronic superstar, who, well, when they die, their whole empire basically collapses. So we're talking pretty much about the dedicated as opposed to the curate.
I wanted to push the conversation to that point so we could get to it and maybe miss some other things. My frustration is that unless we have a discussion like David has rolled out, I certainly endorse and agree with Ross and David. I think we cannot begin to lay the foundation of why this ought to be. And I haven't yet heard it articulated at any level other than this level, except in the previous term by you, which is a caricature. The people in the local church are raising the question at the caricature level. Why are we marketing our product in front of all these susceptible people? And I don't think that's where we're coming from.
Wait, now.
No, I sense something, and I've been involved in this for a number of years and been to enough national conferences to we won't go into that. But there is a deep resentment on the part of mainline denominations, mainly the Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, toward the mass media. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got to deal with that. You know, and that resentment comes from the fact that we inevitably think of religion as being the national gurus. And we say, we don't want anything to do with that. I think there is, on the part of United Methodists, at least in the leadership capacity, and on the part of some of us here, a deep resentment that comes from, first of all, that caricature, and secondly, a frustration because we don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And because we don't know what to do with it, the easiest thing to do is to strike back at it and to say what's wrong with it and what is not being done when we ought to be dealing with what can we do. Now, I have no hang-ups about marketing United Methodist. You have to have a vehicle. When I talk, I'm marketing Randy Pollock. The only way to get around that is for me to become the Phantom. We're in the communicating business. That's what the church is about. That's what the gospel is all about. And it seems almost spiritually obscene to me that we would neglect the most powerful means of communication ever placed in the hands of mankind the way we neglect it today, because we're still hung up with our own inner frustrations and our sense of failure and inadequacy of dealing with this media. Well, I think we need to deal with it.
Let me comment on that further, too. There's a problem in the past. There has been a problem of cost. Enormous cost, which could only be supported by...
Now, David, that's a rationalization, because if Oral Roberts or Jerry Falwell up here, who is really, you know, when you get right down to it, compared to the United Methodist Church, cost doesn't have anything to do with it. Commitment has everything to do with it.
But
next
year,
his budget is $52 million for television alone, more than our Board of Global Ministries' total budget.
I realize that. That's what I'm talking about, is allocation of priorities from general benevolent sources. We have not been in the position to tackle the superstars on their own basis and draw the public support from it.
Yes, we have, and we have been paranoid in using it, David. We have not allowed our people to buy into the system.
I would wonder whether that is the system and the arena in which pluralistic, and I'm not talking about culture religion, which is what most folks have said. I'm talking about something a little deeper here. I'm not sure that the substance of what's being peddled there is more theological than it is.
But that's not the argument, David. I think all of us agree with that. That's not the argument. Let's forget the Roberts, the Humbards, or whoever. Because, see, we're going back to that frustration.
Yeah.
Let's deal with where our commitment is, you know, where we're coming from. Are we really committed to the communication of the gospel? Now, I am convinced that if any church has something to say to this pluralistic society in which we live, it's the United Methodist Church. We must deal with the basic issue, and that is this: are we committed to communicating it with every means at our disposal? Now, that's the major question.
I would hope we can do what you said, Randy, that is to forget the Roberts and the Humbards. But what I'm hearing, and what I'm afraid that I'm hearing, is we can't forget them. We want to stoop to their level and do their kind of thing and put a United Methodist stamp on it.
I don't know if
that's what John was raising or not, but the fear that we're just going to have another CBN from the South that's going to be just like them and not have any kind of a definitive theological statement to say.
Well, I'd like to go to one meeting where no one says anything, positive or negative, about Oral Roberts or Rex Humbard or whoever, and, you know, gather around and they're doing it.
Well,
we may not agree with
it. But it's hard
to
escape.
But they're doing it. But what can we do? That's
our Methodists are sending money to these guys.
But why are they sending money there?
We can't do anything about that in this room. What should we be doing?
I didn't hear this discussion four years ago.
They weren't superstars.
They weren't superstars raking that money in.
It takes a lot of promotion.
We weren't excited about it. Now we're missing. You know, I come back to the same question. Working at the conference level, the district superintendent who said to me last week, "What are you doing?" Me meaning us, to counteract these guys.
Should we be doing anything to counteract it?
Yeah, well, see, Randy is saying that not the way to tackle the problem.
Okay, but I'm trying to tell you what I see is the popular perception of the problem.
Pardon?
No one said to me 5 years ago or 4 years ago, before these characters were on, what are we doing to get a National Methodist presence? Nobody gave a damn about a National Methodist
presence. Yeah, they did. A general conference, they said we're going to
have... Not at the local level, though. Okay. Not the local DS who's hurting, you know.
Okay, let's admit then that the past has been fragmented in electronic media. One reason that I think is a subtle one but underlies a lot of that is the church leaders and church ecclesiastics, theologians in general, are print-oriented.
May I ask a question? Why are we so afraid of developing a national guru? Why should we feel like we're stooping to somebody's level if Ross Freeman becomes a national spokesman for Methodism?
I vote for that.
He's my boss, too, Randy.
We had a southern accent. He wouldn't fly in the north.
Why are we so afraid of someone getting some credit or one person standing out as a representative of the church? And we're just flying all sorts of directions.
I don't think that we have had people who themselves have arisen, like Ralph Sockman on National Radio Pulpit, which he did for years. We have had people to do it in other meetings.
That was not, though, as a consequence of anything. concerted effort on the part of the Methodist Church.
No, that's right.
The individual charisma.
That's right.
That was in spite of.
They chose him, and they said, would you like to do it?
It seems to me it's a cop-out for us just to be knocking other groups instead of being about the business ourselves. And I would hope that we wouldn't spend all of our time here today just knocking the 700 Club or Oral Roberts or somebody like that. I really didn't come up here to do that. I think there's a more constructive thing that we can be doing. I'm here for the purpose of us promoting communication of the gospel, local programs. We've got, a type of personnel here from the various denominations that's interested in the pluralistic or broad approach. And I think these are the groups that should be involved in cable television ministry rather than some of the other groups that only want to put on their brand of religion. I know in our own local community, frankly, through our cable television ministry, we're putting on a variety of viewpoints and presentations of the gospel, which includes the 700 Club. And I'm not, I don't know whether Randy still did or not. He used to have on the PTL Club. We have all of our worship services on. If the Baptist preacher in the local community will videotape his worship services, we'll put those on too. I think I'm not interested in presenting just one narrow side of the gospel.
Local cable television production command an audience?
It didn't used to. I couldn't even loan them my film because they weren't showing it to anybody.
Yeah, we did a survey last summer on our audience and indicated about a third of the cable system subscribers watch this on a regular basis. 25,000 homes on the cable system, 7,500 homes watching us a week.
Yes.
If you want to get a little angle from the other side of the fence from the media here and bringing this down to a local level, forgetting the superstars, we don't stack up, the Methodists don't stack up very well against the locals either. I just off the top of an idea here since they were talking this, I just tried to make a note here of broadcasts on my little radio station, and we have, unless I've miscounted here, and I think I may have counted one or two, 4 3/4 hours per week of Baptist programs on my station, and I have a self-promoter in my neck saying no, 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 to keep from selling more and more and more and more of them. We have one little half-hour Methodist program, that is it. My pastor told me the other day, he said, we're going to have to drop that. We can't keep enough money coming in to pay for it.
And you're talking about TV, not radio?
No, I'm talking about just plain peanuts, just radio station. Okay. We keep a half hour a week on, and the Baptists have got 4 3/4 hours, and we buy twice that much. And I just keep telling them, we just can't have any more.
There was a lot of discussion about superstars, some of the programming we've talked about and the programming we're trying to do and making doesn't revolve around personalities. We try and deal with issues. And I think if we as a Methodist church are going to reach a national constituency with our pluralistic stand, it's going to have to be by dealing with a variety of issues and programs, not with a personality trying to project that vast, nebulous pluralism.
I hear you saying on the local level, Don.
Both and.
Two quick points. Seems to me to be historically ludicrous for a group founded by John Wesley and a Francis Asbury to be so afraid of a leader emerging.
Mm-hmm.
In the second place, if we still believed what they preached and preached it, we would have the support of the people who pay for these things.
Mm-hmm. Is this
my concern is not so much trying to counteract your so-called superstars, because now, frankly, personally, I like some of the things they say and do. Some of them put out some good programming, any way you look at it. But now, what I'm interested in is getting before the people that are in my community some Christian alternative to the slump that they get on commercial TV a lot of times, or most of the time.